Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, this last week, we witnessed probably one of the biggest choices many of us have had to make in a long time. Probably one of the biggest choices we've had to make in years. Obviously, I'm talking about the election. There have been heated debates. I think it's fair to say that there have been strained relationships. There have been attempts to educate. There have also been attempts to deceive, if we're being fair and accurate. And I just think about all of the collective energy that our country has poured into the choice that we all individually had to make on Tuesday of this past week. But at the end of the day, no one could make you or force you to vote for a particular candidate or a particular party or a particular issue. When it all came down to brass tacks last Tuesday, or maybe you voted early. I know that I voted a couple of weeks ago. I showed up and voted early this year. I've never done that but I did because of COVID. But when it all came down to brass tacks, we all still had to sit there with our ballot in front of us. And it was just you and the ballot. Most people, I think most of us, we made informed choices. We made informed choices.
Even if you didn't agree on your choices.
Even if you didn't agree, that's right. It's likely that some people didn't make informed choices. I run into a lot of people and they say, I don't know who that judge was. You know, I just don't know, so I just click. And some people just decide not to vote because they don't know, and that's fine. Some people actually threw away their opportunity to choose, and they decided not to vote. Believe it or not, you know, it's very rare that we have voting the way that we did this year in terms of the turnout. There are a lot of people who didn't go to the polls and vote. And today I want to address one of the key reasons why I believe personally that God is worthy of our trust and our devotion. Now, over the past several weeks, we've been exploring questions that I think people are asking in these exceptional times regarding why they should even bother to believe in God. Navigating life in 2020 has not been for the faint of heart or the weak of faith. It has been a challenging year. I think we've been very open over the past several weeks as we've kind of been addressing these questions that even the most faithful followers of Jesus can at times have doubts and ask serious questions about their beliefs and whether all of this is even worth it. We've been trying to explore answers to really fundamentally tough questions, not the political questions, not the issues of the day, but the underlying questions that people are really struggling with. And we've been trying to address those fundamentally tough questions for a few reasons. First of all, when we are able to address those fundamentally tough questions, it bolsters our own faith. And then second of all, when we address those really tough underlying questions, it enables us to provide spiritual first aid to the walking wounded who are all around us every day, who have been just devastated by the spiritual warfare that is happening out and about all the time right now in 2020. So far, here's a summary of the answers that we put forward to the question, why should I believe in God? The first reason we went over was because the Bible tells us so. The Bible's not a history book. The Bible's not a science book. The Bible's not a political book. The Bible is a spiritual guide that tells us everything we need to know in order to have a relationship with God and to make it to heaven. The second reason that we should believe in God that we went over is because God is right here with us in the cheap seats. Remember, God's not off in a luxury box somewhere. God is with us here in the midst of what's going on in our lives. And that leads to the third reason, and that's because through the life of Jesus Christ, God's not only with us here in the cheap seats, he understands and can sympathize and empathize with us, and therefore is worthy of our trust to help us in our time of need. And today I want to provide a fourth response to the question, why should I believe God? Or why should I believe in God? Why should I believe in God? I think probably one of the most important reasons why we should believe in God is because God believes in humanity. You're like, what? We should believe in God because God believes in you. And I want to dig into this today. We're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 30 this morning. So you might want to flip in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 30 this morning. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, we find evidence, I believe, that God has endowed humanity with a tremendous responsibility. He's endowed you and I with this tremendous responsibility. And this evidence, this tremendous responsibility is evidence of the amount of trust that God puts in you and I and all of our brothers and sisters who have ever walked this earth. God has so much faith. God has so much faith in humanity that he has endowed us with the freedom to make choices for ourselves. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you, but I want to take a couple of moments this morning to really dig into it a little bit, because it really, really matters in the most deepest and fundamental way in our lives. We are either free to choose our own way and our own destiny, or we are robots stuck in a predetermined game by some cruel and unloving God, when you just get right down to it. We're either free to choose our own way, or we're robots stuck in some cruel game that is not loving, is not righteous, is not holy. Which would you prefer, to be free or to be a robot? More importantly, which of these options that we're talking about this morning aligns with the character of the God of the Bible? Remember, we can believe in God because the Bible tells us so. The Bible is the roadmap that helps us understand what's really going on, what our eyes may not be able to see, what our ears may not be able to hear, what our nose may not be able to smell, what our tongue may not be able to taste. The Bible helps us understand that there's more than what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch. There's more going on than our senses can imagine. And I think that the Bible helps us understand how this freedom to choose really does align with the character of the God of the Bible. The good news about the good news is that God gives you and I this tremendous responsibility to determine our own destiny. It's the ultimate evidence that God loves us. It is the primary piece of evidence. It is the smoking gun that God loves us. We find evidence of the unique human quality to freely make choices all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, in the creation story. Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the creation story with humanity. Adam and Eve are given the option of living forever in paradise, but they were given this freedom to choose. Underlying the creation story is this freedom to choose. God said, you can live here and you can dwell here in my presence and be here in paradise with me. The only thing you have to do is not eat from that tree of good and evil. They were given a choice. Okay, and what did they do? They chose of their own free will to disobey the only command God really gave them. And their choice had consequences for them in their story, because we read about the curse that God put on Eve and the curse that God put on Adam, but their choice had consequences for all of creation. You and I, we are dealing with the consequences of the choice that Adam and Eve made all the way back in creation. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the choice that we all face, I think, is laid out in verses, in nine verses here. as Moses is delivering his final sermon, this is his curtain call. He's delivering his final sermon to the people of Israel. And in verse 11 of Deuteronomy 30, we read these words this morning. Moses says, "Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." So in other words, he's saying this is for everybody. It's not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven in the luxury box. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven and to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey. No, Moses says to the Israelites, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. Then he says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." He's saying, we have a choice. "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I think we make dozens and dozens of choices every single day. But I think this passage boils it all down to the main choice you and I face every day that we walk this earth in our lives. The choice between life in Christ or death as we pursue our own paths or other idols that could look like a lot of different things in this world. God could have set things up. He could have established things so that humanity automatically chooses his ways. Could be the default factory position where we're just set up to choose life, because that's what he would love for us to do. But if we were all programmed that way to just automatically to choose life, the choice really isn't a choice. It would be meaningless. It would have no meaning. It would be hollow. Why even go through the exercise? There are no stakes. There's nothing at stake if we're automatically set to just choose God. There's nothing at risk in that scenario. No way for God to truly love his creation. What's even worse is that I think some people will argue that only a portion of humanity has been pre-programmed or pre-selected to be saved. And I think that scenario, that's simply not fair. That does not reflect a loving, just, and holy God if only certain people have been pre-selected to be able to accept the saving grace that he has bestowed through his son, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you know, whosoever believes. He didn't say just who, if this certain group of people believes. Jesus said, whosoever. It's for everybody. So instead, to be fair and to make life mean something, God gave us the freedom to choose him or to reject him. I know that's a little difficult to get our minds around, but just it's a very, you know, God gives us a choice to choose him or to reject him. I don't know how to make that any more simple this morning. And that's why God is worthy, I think, of our belief and of our devotion. I think every single one of us wants to be respected. I think there's a deep desire in our hearts as human beings to be respected. No one likes to be treated with disrespect. I think we see a lot of that going on right now. I think that's what's causing a lot of the anger and turmoil and enmity in our civil discourse or non-civil discourse these days, is because people have lost the ability to be respectful of one another, even when we disagree. God respects you so much. God respects humanity so much that he does not push us or force us to accept him. He does not push his ways on us. Maybe we could learn a little something from God in our current circumstances. He does not force us to choose him, and he does not push himself on us. God loves us so much that he set us free to choose to accept him or to reject him. God loves you so much, he'll respect your decision to reject him. That's a deep thought this morning. But God loves you so much, he will respect your decision to reject him. He will not force you back to him. He wants us to choose freely to love him. He wants us to choose freely to live for him, because it's our choice that brings meaning and value to the table. When we choose freely as the created to embrace the creator, that brings meaning into the relationship. That type of love that God is showing for us to respect us, that's really hard to pull off. That is really challenging to pull off. Pastor Vicky and I drove over to Illinois a few weeks ago for Curtis's wedding. It was a beautiful wedding. We had a great time. And on the way over there, on the way to Bourbonnais, Illinois, we always hit a certain intersection that always strikes a memory. For me in particular, I think it does for both of us. But way back in 2012, 8 years ago, we were driving Curtis to Olivet Nazarene University. It was his freshman year. He was in his car because he was driving over there by himself, and we were following him. It was his first solo flight to Olivet, and it's like a 5.5-hour drive. It was a big deal. And so we're kind of playing wingman, being the helicopter parents that we were at the time.
Well, and he couldn't fit all his stuff in one vehicle. Well,
that too. So yeah. We just had to follow him to be with him. And we're almost all the way there. We're probably 10 minutes away from Olivet Nazarene University. And we're out in the country, and we come across this four-way stop out in the middle of the country in Illinois. And I started slowing, you know, probably a quarter mile out, because I saw the stop sign and I saw the signs, and I started slowing down, and I'm behind Curtis, but Curtis wasn't slowing down. And at first I'm like, well, obviously he's going to realize that there's an intersection there and he's going to stop. And to both of our horror, with other cars approaching the intersection, he didn't stop. He sailed right through the intersection. Full speed, didn't even pump the brakes, was not paying attention, didn't see the stop sign. I was just like, I couldn't breathe, because I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to watch him die. We're going to watch him die right now. And I had no power to do anything about it. We had cell phones, couldn't get on the phone and call him. I could have beeped my horn, but he wasn't going to hear me. I could have flashed my lights, but he wasn't going to see it because he was obviously focused on something else. And I think that's what it's like for God when God gives us free will. I think that picture right there is exactly what it's like for God and humanity. God sets us off and he gives us the freedom to choose. He does not force himself on us. We had no control over Curtis. He was command, and all we could do was set back and watch him choose to sail right through that intersection. And we got to Olivet later and said, dude, you ran a stop sign, you almost got killed. He's like, what are you talking about? He didn't even know it. And that brings us to the stark reality, I think, that comes with the freedom to choose that God has endowed each of us with. And that reality is that our choices have consequences. The choices we make have consequences. This whole notion of free will is so important to how we understand the world. It is fundamental to how we understand the world. So much of the suffering and so much of the evil and so much of the rejection and so much of the pain in this world, it occurs because people abuse the freedom to choose that they have, and their abuse of their choices impacts other people around them. You run a stop sign and you hit another car, guess what? It doesn't just impact you. You might wind up injuring or severely injuring or killing somebody who was just driving to Walmart for a gallon of milk. And you ran a stop sign and you changed their whole life. And so that was the lecture I had with Curtis. You could have killed somebody. Your choices have consequences. You have to pay attention to what you're doing when you're driving. And I think this is a big reason for much of the suffering and the evil that we see in this world, because many people abuse their God-given free will, and their choices have consequences. Some people don't even care that their choices have consequences. They'll even flaunt it in your face and say, well, it's too bad. That's your problem. That really doesn't reflect the love of God, does it? I think this notion of free will is also important to how we understand our ongoing relationship with God. So not only does it kind of inform how some of the really evil stuff happens out there, but I think this notion of free will, it really kind of informs your relationship and my relationship today right now with God. Choosing to believe in Jesus as our Savior is a turning point type of decision. You know, there comes a moment in time when we choose to believe that what Jesus did on the cross was done for me, and that the grace and the forgiveness and the freedom that comes from that, from my sinful past and from all the bad choices I made in the past, that is a point in time, that is a choice we make to accept Jesus. But friends, and I believe this totally aligns with our Wesleyan Arminian background and holiness background in the Church of the Nazarene. Yes, we accept Jesus as our Savior at a point in time, but that doesn't give us license to just go live the way we want to. And, you know, who cares how my life impacts other people or the consequences of my choices? We have to keep choosing Jesus every single day. We accept him at a point in time and he saves us from our sins. But in order for his salvation to remain in effect in our lives, we have to keep choosing to obey his ways every single day. We have to keep choosing life. Just as Moses was telling the people of Israel out in the desert, we have to keep choosing life as we move forward so that we and our children and our families may live. It doesn't take supernatural powers to choose life. I think that choice is within our reach. God gives us that choice. It's simply a matter of our free will. Why should I believe in God? Because God believes in you so much that he hands us the keys. He hands you the controller. How many times do you get handed the TV controller? Huh? Most of the time you have to go take it from somebody. But he hands us the controllers. He hands us the authority to choose him or to reject him. Otherwise, if he didn't do that, I don't think God would be worth believing in. That's exactly what I just said. If he didn't give us the freedom to choose, I don't think he would be worth believing in, but he does. He gives us totally the freedom to choose. So I think the question for each of us today is, how are we doing with the choice that we've been given? How are we doing with the choice we've been given? Are we making choices that are bringing forth life through the words we choose, in the conversations we have? Are they breathing life or are they breathing death into the situation? Through the content we choose to consume, through these devices and through our TVs, that are those content choices, are they bringing life forward into our households or are they bringing death into our households? Are we bringing life into our lives by the actions that we choose? The attitudes that we cling to in our hearts, are those bringing life or death forward? How about our attitudes towards people who have different political views than ours? Are we choosing life or are we choosing death? Lord, let us embrace the truth of your love this morning. Lord, I pray, Father, that for those listening to this morning, Lord, that something has clicked in their hearts and they realize that they've been making the choice for other things when in reality they need to be choosing life. And Lord, what we love about your grace and mercy is you give us space and opportunity to self-correct into making the right choices. And it's moments like this, Father, that you have given to us so that we can change course, so that we can adjust things in our lives, so that we can begin again to be choosing life every single day, being empowered by your Holy Spirit to be transformed into the people that you've called us to be, the people you originally intended us to be. Thank you, Father, for the ability to choose you. Thank you, Father, for being with us. Thank you, Father, for not only being with us, but being able to empathize with us and to suffer with us and to cry with us and to laugh with us and to help us through the different things that we go through, Lord, so that we're not alone. Lord, we're thankful for your scripture this morning, Lord, that opens up our eyes to what's really going on. Lord, may we be found faithful. Lord, you have put your trust in us, and may we now put our trust in you and find victory and peace and love and rest in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue. Or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.